This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
All right, 8:13, first big weekend of Carnival coming up, and J.P. Morrell joins us, New Orleans City Council Member-at-Large. How you doing, J.P.?
I'm good, Tommy. How you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Before we get to Mardi Gras, you know, with everything going on in Washington with DOGE and cuts and this and that and the other thing, has anything happened that has affected the city budget or anything the city can do? Or
Not directly, not yet. Obviously, when the president had his first executive action stopping all federal funding, that had some potential impacts on the city. But since that has been frozen in court, the much more measured individual management of federal funds has not directly impacted the city. But a lot of partners that provide services to the city, such as our sexual assault advocates and the like, they're suffering right now, and that's going to ultimately impact delivery of services, but that's not directly in the city. It's kind of people inside the city working with us.
All right, let's talk about Mardi Gras, because there, I don't know if there's confusion or not between the new quality of life ordinance and enforcement and what you can and can't do, et cetera. Talk about that, if you will, JP.
So as you know, we passed a resolution. Last year we passed some changes to the Mardi Gras code to improve quality of life issues like no poop tents, no tents, not having ladders lining, blocking the Mardi Gras routes and the like. In the wake of the January 1st attack, we gave deference to NOPD and gave them discretion to enforce as they saw fit, because their primary priority is public safety. I think where there's confusion is, and I'll be very clear, we did not repeal the law at all. The laws that we passed last year that have all those things in effect, they're still in effect. We simply told the NOPD, you don't have to go out there like the Gestapo this year and start tearing things down. I think what people need to understand going into this year, Tommy, it's real simple. Like, there is a cross-section, as you have said before, between some of those quality of life changes and security itself. Mm-hmm. I think that if you are intending to go set up the Taj Mahal directly on St. Charles Avenue, there are going to be issues, Tommy, like, you know, like sight lines or making sure EMS, fire, and NOPD can have access to the route. Mm-hmm. What that means is that they can still choose if what you're doing, in their opinion, crosses the line from quality of life and safety to tear your tent down. I would argue, for the most part, Tommy, if people are just not jerks, if you set your tents back away from the route, as people used to do when you and I were younger, and not on the route, if you don't chain together lines of ladders, if you just kind of do things that are common sense, in all likelihood, you should be okay. But the law is not repealed, and if NOPD says, I'm tearing this tent down and throwing it away, they can still do it.
Well, JP, you know full well that if people use common sense and nobody was a jerk, then we'd be in utopia, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. if people never set up the poop tents, Tommy, we wouldn't have banned.
I just mean in general. I don't mean Mardi Gras. I mean in general.
No, I know, but like to your point, the whole reason why we had to have that quality of life pass-through last year in Mardi Gras is that things had gotten out of hand because entitled people decided that the greatest free party on earth, they were going to set up their own mini Coachellas in the free party that is Mardi Gras. If people just like were generally not jerks, I mean, honestly, Tommy, here's the way I would put it. If people can show us this year that they can go back to not being jerks, if everyone could set their tents back, not make chains of ladders, not build wooden platforms, not set up, you know, rooms to go, couches on the route, maybe that would make the case for us to go and maybe loosen some of the laws back. But if they go out there this year, Tommy, and it is as bad as it was last year, then, I mean, it's only going to reaffirm that post-January 1st, SEER 1, post this whole deal, that we are going to have to go back out with robust enforcement and start tearing all the stuff down, because Mardi Gras for everybody, not just the people that pay some guy to set up Taj Mahal for them early.
Yeah, when you say
public
Taj Mahal,
for everyone.
Are you talking about the reflecting pool in front as well or not?
No, I'm more talking about if you're setting up a Barnum and Bailey tent on the route
now that
for
I
your
guess.
Entire extended family to sit in couches and hang out, any reasonable person would say you're being a jerk.
Yeah.
I want to say another word,
no,
but I can't say that on the radio.
Yeah, because you might lose whatever they might vote and get whatever you call it, demote you or whatever it is. Let's talk about the division of duties between NOPD and Public Works. How does that traditionally work when it comes to discretion? Who tears what down? Who directs whom to do what?
It's not Public Works. The group right now that's doing the outreach and putting up the signs is Parks and Parkways.
Okay.
So Parks and Parkways primary job, their issue is they're the ones that need to make sure you don't wreck the neutral grounds year round during Mardi Gras. We've had tremendous issues. You see that where cars like get on the neutral ground, they'll like park on top of a tree and like the city spends a whole lot of money keeping the neutral grounds in order. And it's kind of difficult for Parks and Parkways to try and replant all the trees you kill because you're parking your truck up on the neutral ground to get closer to the route down to take a kegger off the back. So Parks and Parkways right now, what they're primarily doing is educating people on these are the rules.
But I'm
saying, as far as enforcement.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Right. So as far as enforcement, they are not enforcement officers who are going to be out there doing enforcement during a parade. That is not their role. Now, what Parks and Parkways has done historically, and they will probably do this year, is that if you start putting your tents out the day before, they do have the authority on those neutral grounds to roll by with a contractor and throw your crap away.
Okay, so it's not Public Works. There's a contract. I'm just trying to figure out who picks up the tents and throws the crap away.
The people who pick up the tents and typically throw them away are contractors working with Parks and Parkways and potentially with NOPD. So Public Works is not in this mix. It's Parks and Parkways, NOPD. And occasionally when they set up task force to try and enforce rules, they'll have some aid from other agencies. But a lot of city agencies have crossover, but those two are the primary ones. But, I mean, I will tell you, even under the old law, people have constantly skirted the line. You've seen it, Tommy, setting up their tents 24 hours early. If you do that, it is very easy for us to pick up your early tent and throw it in the trash. Don't do it. You got 3 hours under the existing law to set up whatever you're going to set up before the parade. The new law banning tents is in effect. We've told NOPD to use their discretion. I can't speak for every individual officer, but I think if you've got your tent set back and not blocking the route, that's not a priority for them. But as they're looking at safety along the route, if you chain up 10 ladders in a row in a Taj Mahal behind it, that's not safe and it's illegal.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Somebody texted in that put your ladders behind a crowd. What's so hard about that? Every year I say this because it seems like if you've ever been to a stadium, you realize stadium seating is the seats go up, right? So the people in the front can see. So why would you put the higher seats in the front? It makes no sense. But people do it. 821 traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take now WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. He was behind the quality of life things when it comes to Mardi Gras with the, I don't know how somebody can go to the bathroom on a, in a personal tent on a neutral ground. I don't know how they can do that, but they do, and you can't bring them out this year. And then when you talk, J.P., about discretion as it relates to NOPD, that just jumps out at me, because when it comes to enforcement of this, it's got to be fair for everybody and equal, but one officer's maybe thoughts or sergeant's or superior's thoughts in the 1800 block might not be the same as the 2400 block. They did it. We can't do it. I had my tent. You picked it up. Now somebody else came and put a tent out in that exact spot. You know how it works. So tell me how you get around all of that.
Well, I mean, this year, tell me you don't. I mean, the reality is that we're dealing with, there was a plan, and that plan was preempted by January 1st. And as the NOPD tries to set the baseline for what SEER 1 protection will be, we'll have more robust, even-handed enforcement next year. But this year, it's not going to happen. And I mean, the reality is that, to your point, I'll give you an example. If you're going down St. Charles right now, as you know, right before Calliope or Calliope, if you're, you know,
nah, come on, say it right. It's Calliope.
All right, Calliope. The Popeyes by Calliope has five times the amount of people of any other spot along St. Charles. Mm-hmm. You might have NOPD say, this spot is highly congested. Take your damn tent down. It's a priority because the crush of people means it's hard for us to navigate it. Mm-hmm. You might be mad because you set up your tent at 5 a.m. at that location and the guys three blocks up have a similar tent set back properly. And I mean, it's like, so sorry, because the reality is right now, the law is not repealed, Tommy. So you don't have a legal foot to stand on to begin with. It's kind of like, here's another way you can look at it, Tommy. We passed the law. You can not follow the law at your own risk. That's the way. How about that? How about phrasing it that way?
I like that.
The law has not been repealed. The law has not been repealed. If you decide to set up a Taj Mahal, do it at your own risk, because if the NOPD says tear it down, they can.
They may not
because their priorities on something else, but they could.
Let me get to this real quick with the SEER 1 event, because I don't know how you can look at a generator or an open flame or a propane tank as anything but a potential explosive device. So tell me about that.
I agree, which is why we banned them last year. They're banned.
But
like so under the quality of life law, we said you can't have any more gas grills on public property in front of parade. So also falls under the line of, I agree, common sense says rolling out a propane tank on a parade route where anybody could trip over it, open flame explosion, is dumb. We banned it. NOPD could and probably should say you can't have a propane tank on a parade route. It's illegal.
Do you have a couple of seconds to stick around after the news real quick?
Yeah,
that's okay, fine. Good, because I want to pick up something, a thread that I thought of yesterday when I was talking to Ronald Surpass, and it goes to the SEER 1 event, and I'd hate to cram it in, and Dave Cohen's in there. He gets mad when I run late for news, and Jordan Fiegel's already angry because we said Calliope and not Calliope, but I did that just to anger him. Tim, who knows what he's mad about? I'm just trying to get along here, JP. You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile,
I know what you're saying.
I'm trying to build a Taj Mahal at the corner of Piety. All right, 8:30 time for WWL First News. And back to JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. So, JP, I was talking to Ronald Surpass yesterday, as we often do, and a thought just popped into my mind as we were having a conversation. Mardi Gras designated as a Sear One event, right? And we talk about the uniqueness of Mardi Gras, and does that really lend itself to being a Sear One event? But that got me to thinking, but for January 1st, that Sear One designation doesn't change, or that Sear One designation doesn't happen. And I think it would be terribly naive to think that any potential terrorist hadn't looked at Mardi Gras as a soft target before this, and a lot of this seems reactionary to what happened, to what this terrorist did on Bourbon Street on January 1st. And I'm in no way downplaying that at all, but it seems as though, okay, a guy decides to drive his truck down Bourbon Street and kill innocent people and hurt God knows how many others and attack the city and the country. So now we're talking about a sea change to Mardi Gras when, in fact, nothing's really changed other than this guy driving his truck down Bourbon Street, right? Do you understand where I'm going with this or not?
No, I understand. I mean, the mayor, Mayor Cantrell, has been lobbying for Mardi Gras to be a Sear One event well before the terrorist attack. But that being said, the nature of Mardi Gras kind of defies a typical Sear One event. Typically, a Sear One event's like the Rose Bowl, it's the Super Bowl. It's a day or 2 day period where you hyper-focus a tremendous amount of resources in a very fixed area to secure that area. Mardi Gras is 10 days, for the most part. It's a 10-day open-air party. There is certainly a difficulty and a tension in how you can have Mardi Gras exist with a Sear One designation. The only thing that gives me comfort, at least this year, as we try to implement it, is that NOPD, who has managed Mardi Gras since time immemorial, is driving the train of what a Sear One Mardi Gras looks like. But to your point, Mardi Gras in itself kind of defies, I mean, the idea of Mardi Gras kind of defies what a typical Sear One event is. So it's going to be extremely difficult to try and implement it. And I mean, that's kind of why we did the whole, you have discretion with the quality of life issues, because given the difficulty of NOPD navigating that, telling them, by the way, you got to go be on the lookout for poop tents, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's going to be very interesting. That's why I said this year is really, I think the NOPD is going to have on their plate setting what the benchmark will be for a Sear One Mardi Gras event and how they navigate that. And as I've said previously, I know we've talked about, a Sear One designation isn't annual. It's there until the federal government revokes it.
Right.
So Mardi Gras will be a Sear One event every year until a president and or security personnel says, no, now the danger has passed. So whatever we do this year is going to be the baseline for future years.
Because 9/11 happened in 2001, right? And
right.
Other terrorist attacks have happened since then. And the only thing that changed as far as Mardi Gras goes is that this guy drove his truck down Bourbon Street. Again, not diminishing that at all. But it seems as though it would be naive, again, to think that all of a sudden a terrorist is going to realize, Mardi Gras, soft target, when in fact, right?
Well, I think the one thing I would add as kind of caveat to that is vehicular attacks have been on the rise internationally.
This is true.
So I think part of what you're going to see, like, I mean, you saw Nice, you saw what happened in Germany right before the attack in December, in January. I think that there's a particular concern regarding vehicular attacks because it doesn't take a lot of resources to engineer that. And I think that's primarily where you're going to see the focus on the NOPD part and how they prevent the added wrinkle of a vehicular attack along a Mardi Gras route. And as you know, from two previous instances, the Endymion drunk driver, the two times we had Endymion drunk drivers go down the route itself and down peripheral streets, because of the congestion and the swell of people during Mardi Gras, a vehicular attack in particular could be very deadly.
And the problem is it's a multi-day event. Thank you, JP. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon. JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council Member, 842, 18 till 9. We'll talk about forecasting the weather when we come back on WWL.